Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And if you would hold your place there and turn also to 2 Samuel chapter 24. Page 277. 2 Samuel chapter 24. This is the word of the Lord. Again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, "Go, number Israel and Judah." So the king said to Joab, the commander of the army who was with him, "Go through all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and number the people, that I may know the number of the people." But Joab said to the king, "May the Lord your God add to the people 100 times as many as they are, while the eyes of my lord the king still see it. But why does my lord the king delight in this thing?" But the king's word prevailed against Joab and the commanders of the army. So Joab and the commanders of the army went out from the presence of the king to number the people of Israel. They crossed the Jordan and began from Aroer, and from the city that is in the middle of the valley, toward Gad, and on to Jazer. Then they came to Gilead, and to Kadesh, and the land of the Hittites. And they came to Dan, and from Dan they went around to Sidon, and came to the fortress of Tyre, and to all the cities of the Hivites and Canaanites. And they went out to the Negeb of Judah at Beersheba. So when they had gone through all the land, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. And Joab gave the sum of the numbering of the people to the king. In Israel there were 800,000 valiant men who drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000. But David's heart struck him after he had numbered the people, and David said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done, but now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." And when David arose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and say to David, 'Thus says the Lord, 3 things I offer you, choose one of them, that I may do it to you.'" So Gad came to David and told him and said to him, "Shall 3 years of famine come to you in your land? Or will you flee 3 months before your foes while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now consider and decide what answer I shall return to him who sent me." Then David said to Gad, "I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great. But let me not fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel from the morning until the appointed time. And there died of the people from Dan to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the calamity and said to the angel who was working destruction among the people, "It is enough. Now stay your hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. Then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, "Behold, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and against my father's house." And Gad came that day to David and said to him, "Go, raise an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite." So David went up at Gad's word, as the Lord commanded. And when Araunah looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and paid homage to the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be averted from the people." Then Araunah said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering, and the threshing floor, and the threshing sledges, and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. All this, O king, Araunah gives to the king. And Araunah said to the king, May the Lord your God accept you. But the king said to Araunah, No, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord responded to the plea for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 2 begins with a decree. The decree of Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The decree of Caesar was for a census, that a census should be taken, that he might number the people of his empire, an empire that stretched to the ends of the earth. That he might number the people of the inhabited world. In order to do this, each one was to be registered in his own town. And so it was for this reason that Joseph and Mary with him went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, to Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the city of David because Bethlehem was the place of his birth. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Joseph went to Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David. And so we are reminded that the gospel according to Luke is the fulfillment of God's promises to his people. The gospel according to Luke is the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, the fulfillment of God's promises to his people, the fulfillment of all God's promises in the Old Testament. Certainly this is true for the gospel according to Matthew, the gospel according to Mark, the gospel according to John. Certainly this is true for the gospel according to Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. The gospel is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The gospel is the fulfillment of all God's promises to his people in Jesus Christ. The Gospel according to Luke sets this forth in an expanded way. The revelation of Joseph as belonging to the house of David. It is the revelation of the fulfillment of Scripture. It is the revelation of the fulfillment of God's promise. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 14, God promises David, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up for you offspring after you who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." Jesus, according to the flesh, was descended from David. According to the flesh, Jesus was descended from David in fulfillment of God's promise to him. As the angel spoke to Mary concerning the child in her womb, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." The revelation of Joseph as belonging to the house of David. It is the revelation of the fulfillment of Scripture. It is the revelation of the fulfillment of God's promise. Likewise, the revelation of his belonging to the city of Bethlehem. The birth of Jesus in the city of Bethlehem. The birth of Jesus in Bethlehem is also in fulfillment of Scripture. It is also the fulfillment of God's promise to his people. Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd the flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure, for he shall be great to the ends of the earth. And he shall be their peace." The birth of Jesus in the city of Bethlehem. It is in fulfillment of Micah chapter 5. And as we have already been told in Luke, his origin is from of old. His origin is from ancient days. For the child born of Mary is none other than the Son of God. For Micah chapter 5 to be fulfilled, it was necessary that Jesus be not only the Son of David, it was also necessary that he be the Son of God. For Jesus to fulfill Micah chapter 5, it was necessary that he not only be born from Bethlehem, but that he also be from Ancient of Days. And so the birth of Jesus fulfills the Scriptures. The gospel, according to Luke, is the fulfillment of God's promise to his people in Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God, the fulfillment of 2 Samuel chapter 7, the fulfillment of Micah chapter 5. Why then did we read 2 Samuel chapter 24? What does 2 Samuel chapter 24 have to do with Luke chapter 2? What is the context of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem? What is the reason for his being born in Bethlehem rather than in Nazareth? Certainly, because it was according to the will of God. But what are the historical means by which it comes to pass? What is the context of Jesus' birth? What is the reason for his being born in Bethlehem? The registration of the world. The registration of the world at the decree of Caesar. A census of the world at the decree of Caesar. Second Samuel chapter 24 likewise concerns a census. David, to whom had been promised a kingdom that would extend to the ends of the earth, a kingdom without end. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, David determines to number the people of Israel. David determines to number the people whom God had promised Abraham that they would be beyond numbering. Look up at the stars in the sky. See if you can count them. So shall your people be. David determines to number the people of Israel. David decrees that all the people of the land should be counted. This was something that displeased the Lord. Something that struck David's heart. Something that brought a plague upon the people from the Lord. Why? In Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 and 12, we read, the Lord said to Moses, when you take the census of the people of Israel, then each shall give a ransom for his life to the Lord when you number them, that there be no plague among them when you number them. A census was to be taken at the command of the Lord alone. And when a census was taken, a ransom was required. A census was to be taken at the command of the Lord alone. Why? Why? Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. David was not to trust in the strength of his kingdom. David was not to trust in the number of his people. David was to trust in the Lord alone. For it was not the Lord's purpose to accomplish his salvation through might and power. It was not the Lord's purpose to fulfill his promises through might and power, but by his Spirit through weakness. When the census was taken, a ransom was required. Luke chapter 2. It begins with the greatest demonstration of worldly power ever seen. Luke chapter 2 begins with the greatest demonstration of worldly power ever seen, the registration, the numbering of the inhabited world at the word of one man. If Luke chapter 2 begins with a census, how do you think the Gospel of Luke will end? With a plague. With a ransom. Luke chapter 2 begins with the greatest demonstration of worldly power ever seen, and the passage ends with the birth of that one of whom it was promised that he would be great to the ends of the earth, that his kingdom would have no end, that he does not come into this world with the might and power of Caesar. He comes into this world weak and helpless. He comes into this world low and poor. He comes into this world wrapped and laid in a manger, in a feeding trough, for there was no room in the inn. Your salvation was not accomplished through the might and power of this world. Your salvation was not accomplished through the might and power of Caesar. It could not be so. Your salvation was accomplished through the humiliation of the Son of David. Your salvation was accomplished through the humiliation of the Son of God. Luke chapter 2 beginning with the census anticipates a plague and a ransom. And Luke chapter 2, verse 7, the birth of Jesus, it anticipates the accomplishment of your salvation the fulfillment of that ransom through the humiliation of your Lord. Through his humiliation unto death. Luke chapter 2, verse 7 forms a bookend with Luke chapter 23, verse 53. Luke chapter 23, verse 53 is parallel with Luke chapter 2, verse 7. In Luke chapter 23, verse 53, upon the death of Jesus on the cross, we read, "Then Joseph of Arimathea took the body of Jesus down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid it in a tomb cut with stone, where no one had ever yet been laid." The birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, it anticipates his death in Luke chapter 23. Just as Jesus at his birth was wrapped and laid in a manger, for there was no room in the inn, so also at his death, Jesus was wrapped and laid in a tomb where no one had ever been laid. Your salvation was accomplished through the humiliation of Christ. Your salvation was accomplished through the birth and death of Christ. He became a ransom for God's people. He became a ransom for you. The plague of God's wrath might be averted from you. And so there is, therefore, now no condemnation against you. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray.